I love retired guys. They're the best. They're so much fun to talk to. Today, I'm working in the general vicinity of this retired dude, so he just wanders over to say hi and chat for a little bit. Turns out he's New Orleans, and then we start talking about food, because he just loves the way his wife cooks. He brought her up to Canada in 74 from New Orleans, and he's been living up here ever since, and then I say, well, you know what? I mean, Mrs. Tews, she's a mail order bride, got her from the far off and distant exotic land of Tennessee, and she cooks great jambalaya and great gumbo, great chicken fried steak and etouffee. And so then we're going back and forth, and he's like, well, do you know what Zatarain's is? And no. And he's like, well, yeah, of course you wouldn't. It's all right. But it's just the best stuff. It's what they use. And then he's telling me about this Jiffy stuff they use for cornbread mix. He's like, hold on a minute. I'll be right back. I'm going to just go for a minute. And he's like, just stay right there. And I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I've got this job to do. And so he wanders off, goes back home, grabs his stuff, comes back. And he brings me this Zatarain's jambalaya mix. And no, it's backwards. Jiffy, trying to get away from the glare, Jiffy corn muffin mix. He's like, you show that to your old lady, she's going to love it. And turns out she did.
Where is this going?
It was just so cool. Where is this going? Guy comes up, starts chatting up with me, like just this probably 75, 80-year-old dude.
This story's as good as my hairdo tonight, all right? It's a little bit all over the place.
No, I just thought it was great that just random retired guy bored sees a dude out doing some stuff. It's like, hey, I'm gonna go over and say hi, see what's going on. And so he says, hey, just
how's everybody doing on a Monday night? Hey, mashup 99 in the house. Our hair is looking pretty good. You know, 99
episode. 99 episode.
99. You know, a couple of athletes come to mind. Manny Ramirez. Aaron Judge, Warren Sapp, J.J. Watt, just to name a few.
Oh, yeah? Yep. We hit all the important
ones. The major
ones,
haven't we?
Do you want to move forward?
Yeah, we probably move forward. We could probably move forward.
Okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Unless there's anything else that you want to mention.
I know you got something planned with the Oilers. I don't know of an Oiler that ever wore 99. I have no idea. I can't think of anything.
All right, well, that's good. I mean, no, none of them have ever really been that noteworthy. So let's just keep moving forward.
Coots to 771 days locked in confinement here. Christopher Carbert and Anthony Olenek. So there's that.
All right. And this week in the Oilers suck. Here comes the milk truck.
Second in the NHL in power play proficiency. A big hit there by Edmondson.
Ooh,
as
he
paced
wrecked.
McDavid to the boards.
Oh, yeah, it's a huge hit. It's such a big freaking hit.
Passes into Janmark and knocks him flat. Oilers nurse up on the left
Oilers
wing.
Nurse.
Bouchard! Welcome to the milk truck.
Welcome to the milk truck. This segment is brought to you by the Dairy Cartel.
The Dairy Cartel, yeah, that's right. I wonder how much they paid him to say all this. Hey?
Just got lit up like a Christmas tree.
Oh, boy, oh, boy. Mashup 99, folks. Wayne Gretzky, of course. I thought I'd throw a little tailspin in it for twos. Friday, April 5th, okay? Everybody mark this on their calendar. 2 p.m., Mashup 101, okay? So we got next Monday night, same time, same place. And then Mashup 101 is going to be the Friday following, April 5th at 2 p.m. And then the 12th, we're going to start at our new time moving forward at 10 a.m. on Friday mornings. Mm-hmm. That's what you all said. And we're going to see how it goes. Hey, twos?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm pretty excited for it. I'm going to get away from the crazy hair. Seeing as apparently that's what we're doing now. We're not going to do the crazy hair anymore.
I don't know. Were we planning to do 99 with all crazy hair? Is that what we were doing?
I'd be good with it. But that's fine. We can wear hats too.
You want to do crazy hair? I tell you what, we'll leave it to the audience if they want crazy hair or not. We'll just let them decide in the comments.
Give the people what they want, Sean.
Okay, fair enough. Can we get a headline, please? Can we kick this thing off? Mashup 99, right. Let's go.
I mean, I like the headline we got so far.
The dumbest people we've ever talked about. Are we talking the attack on Moscow right now? Yes. Is that what we're talking about? Okay.
Yes.
The attack on Moscow's Crocus City Concert Hall is the deadliest attack claimed by the Islamic State on European soil, with 137 people confirmed to have been killed. On Friday evening, attackers carrying assault rifles entered the concert hall on the outskirts of Moscow, shooting for nearly an hour as panicked concert goers scrambled to escape. Then the attackers set the venue on fire. Since Friday, events have moved quickly, with four suspects identified as citizens of Tajikistan by Russian news agency appeared in court Sunday, pleading guilty to being involved. And they look a little pretty rough for the wear there too. So I'm trying to pull up the picture and I'm feeling miserable. Thank you.
So here's what we're looking at. Listen, folks. If any of you are ever planning to be terrorists, don't do it in Russia. And if for some reason you are going to do it in Russia, which is the worst place you could ever be a terrorist in, for the love of God, it better be a suicide mission. This is a picture of a guy with a battery attached to his nuts. All right? This is what happens to you if you get caught. All right? And if you're ever running a country where you capture some terrorists alive, just to make sure that everybody's doing it correctly, there is a correct way to attach a battery to testicles. Okay. Step one is to attach the red wire to the battery. Two is attach the other red wire to the person's testicles. Step three, attach the ground wire to the black terminal of the battery. And step four is to attach the other black wire to the other testicle. Okay. You don't want to try and find a grounding point on them, even though it's very conductive. You want to localize the area. There's a very specific method you need to follow. And if you're watching along, you can see a picture of exactly what we've got going on here.
The NDP are not a serious party. Play the video, Twos. Play the video.
Oh, you mofo. I didn't realize I was going to play the video.
I thought you were playing the video. You told me you were playing the video.
Question, please.
Avec ça, je suis prêt pour vos questions. I'm ready for any questions you might have.
So for folks online, if you have a question, please use the raise hand function to ask a question and follow up. Pour toutes les personnes qui se sont joints à nous via Zoom, je vous inviterai à utiliser la fonction
« lever
la
main » en question, français, equalization.
Je ne vois aucune question pour le moment. Is there any questions in person?
Anybody? Any questions?
No, I think we're good in person, Nina.
All right, so this concludes our press conference. Ceci conclut notre conférence de presse. Merci beaucoup.
Thank you. So there was no questions?
It was their press conference. Imagine going to the trouble of doing a press conference.
Having no questions. Oh, boy. Nothing here, nothing to see.
Like, we don't give a shit.
Correct. Fake it till you break it. Many a Costco shopper. No, we're going Costco. We're going Gibbo, aren't we? We're doing Gibbo. Is that what we're doing?
Yeah.
You know, Tuz, just so the audience understands, Tuz throws in extra headlines on me and messes up my entire preparation.
Okay.
Okay. Gibbo. Right. Stephen Gibbo says, if we stop taxing people, it will hurt them. He also repeats the incredible lie that taxing people alter the world's climate. If the media did what they were supposed to do, they would ask him for proof of this. That was Ryan Gerritsen quoting a video. Yes.
Yes. So here's the video of him, no snow, wearing mitts and a parka, talking about how bad climate change is. Motherfucker, you can't even see this idiot's fucking breath. And he's dressed up like he's about to go mush in a bunch of fucking huskies on a Yukon gold rush. You cannot take these people seriously, Sean.
Costco hot dogs loses defender. Many a Costco shopper have capped off their warehouse rental experience with an iconic soda and hot dog combo, which has stayed at its $1.50 price point since 1985, despite inflation. But now the top exec known for defending the deal's price point has stepped down. The future of the combo, which was so affordable it spawned a cult following, remains unclear, Tews.
Yeah, so the guy who championed this for so long, he's stepped down. He's going to stay on an advisory role in the next little while. But there's inflation and the price of the hot dog.
Correct.
And yeah, so if it had followed inflation from 1985 prices, it would be a little over $4. Okay. Now here's the best part though. Jim Senegal once told CEO. So this guy told the CEO of Costco, if you raise the price of the effing hot dog, I will kill you. These are the kind of people you want to see in business. And it's a damn shame to see them gone.
Apparently the Junos still exist.
Yeah, so the Junos, they had an award ceremony, didn't really advertise it, nobody knew about it, and it was a non-starter. It's funny, I didn't even include any articles for this because nobody gives a fuck. Buzz me.
A rose by any other name. Police have released new details about two Toronto men arrested at a demonstration in the city's Midtown area on Sunday. The arrest happened during a rally in the area of Balmore Avenue and Yonge Street. Toronto police said they received a complaint that a man at a demonstration had a knife concealed on their person. They then investigated and took him into custody. In a second news release, Toronto police said that another man was seen entering the crowd and yelling hate-motivated slurs at demonstrators. This individual then allegedly pushed a victim, causing them to fall backwards. Police said they then took that person into custody as well.
Sean, you missed the most important part of this article.
Sure.
Soda Pop Lip Trot, 25 of Toronto, has been charged with carrying a concealed weapon. Soda Pop Lip Trot is the name of this person who
that's
got
a great name.
Arrested. Yeah.
Great name.
That sounds like the kind of guy Joe Biden would hang out with when he was a kid. All right. And Carol Scobie says, who cares about the Junos? I completely agree.
Totally normal university drama. You know, I basically have no words on this one. I can read parts of it. I mean, I literally can read parts of it.
So this woman said that she was afraid to talk to her, talk to her black bosses. And then they said that that was triggering because people are always afraid of black people. And so for her to say that she's afraid of these particular Correct. Black people who are bad bosses is a toxic work environment.
Correct.
And then she's like, well, you can't really say that to me because I have overcome abuse or something like that. And then the one boss says, but I'm gay. And so they just end up just
I'll read it for people to see here the insanity. Okay. She considered herself a whistleblower, an advocate for other women in the office, drawing unflattering attention to an environment she was said was rife with sexism, burdened by unimaginable workloads, and stymied by a fear-based culture. Then the tables turned as Miss O was the one slapped with an accusation of serious misconduct. The ACLU said her complaints about several superiors, all of whom were black, used racist stereotypes. She was fired in May of 2022. The ACLU, and then it went on, whatever. Okay.
And one the thing is that when the only people you hire are minorities, if you have a complaint in the workplace, it's racism. If you started hiring white people again, you could at least deal with complaints like this because some of them would work there and you could be like,
let me read the final picture that's posted in here. In early March, Ben Needham, who had succeeded the recently departed national political director, reported that Ms. O called her direct supervisor, a black woman, a liar. According to his account, he asked Ms. O why she hadn't complained earlier. She responded that she was afraid to talk to him. As a black male, language like afraid generally is code word for me, Mr. Needham wrote in an email to other ACLU managers. It is triggering for me. Mr. Needham, who is gay and grew up in the Deep South, said in an interview that as a child, I was taught that I'm a danger. To hear someone say they're afraid of him, he added as like saying, these are the people we should be scared of. Miss O and her lawyers have cited her own past as a survivor of domestic abuse. She was particularly sensitive to tense interactions with male colleagues. She said she was troubled by Mr. Needham's once referring to his predecessors as a friend, since she was one of the employees who had criticized him. This is what's going on. I read this and I'm like,
imagine trying to be an arbiter in this situation.
Whoa.
You're like, look, do any of you have disabilities that we could take into consideration here? Does anybody here have any reason to have the close parking spot? Because that's going to be the deciding factor. Other than that, it's just a flip of the coin. They're just one-upping each other on victimhood.
Sanity goes down the drain. The City of Toronto is consulting with water users and interested parties on the possible implementation of a stormwater charge. Stormwater is rain and melted snow. When not absorbed into the ground, stormwater runs off hard surfaces onto streets, down storm drains, and through a network of pipes. They're carried into the local waterways. Too much stormwater can overwhelm the city's sewer system, which can lead to flooded basements and impact the surface water quality in Toronto's rivers, streams, and Lake Ontario's waterfront. To calculate how much rain tax you will pay, the municipalities will see how much hard surface area you have. Toronto's looking at implementing a rain tax. That's what I'm trying to say.
Which is ridiculous, because it should just be the size of the lot anyway, because it's not as though extra rain falls on the roofs. The same amount of rain falls everywhere. And then do you get a tax break if you keep rain barrels? Because there's some places in the U.S. where that's illegal. The other funny thing I want to note about this article, this is Warren Kinsella, is that it's a very sarcastic take on things. Have you noticed that in the last 99 weeks or so, you're seeing a lot more flippancy towards stupid things that governments do, Sean?
Yes.
Yeah. So the City of Toronto is consulting with water users and interested parties on the possible implementation of a stormwater charge, they write, neglecting to mention that water users are all sentient beings living within the confines of Gulag T. Dot. Okay? Like, this is
fantastic.
Yes. I mean, they're just,
I like to
this
think
is the
we played
model.
Our small part in this. Just a small part.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like we did. It's a tonal shift in society, and if you trace it all the way back to its roots, it's the mashup.
Airport security, a bunch of boobs. A Burlington, Ontario woman says she was forced to walk naked from above the waist through an airport security line in Punta Cana, Dominican Republic earlier this month. She wore a tight sweater with nothing underneath it. Mm-hmm. And when she went through,
they said you got to take off.
You
got to
take off the sweater, and they wouldn't let her walk through. And she's like, "I got nothing under. I literally have nothing under."
That's fine.
That's fine. Off goes the sweater. She walks through the metal scanner with nothing on her top. Dudes.
Now, call me a bad person. I'm okay with that. But my first question, I was curious to see if she was hot or not.
You know the sad
thing is?
I'm okay
admitting it.
You know what the sad thing is? Is I'm reading this and I'm like, I bet you Tooze wants to bring up a picture of her. And I'm sure he's going, I wonder if she's hot or not. This is what comes of 99 weeks, folks. I already know what Tooze is going to do with this bit.
I mean, we've never done a bit like this before. But yes, absolutely. Part of me was just like, I wonder if I'd wanted to be in the airport when that happened. And Wendy James, hi guys from Lumsden, Saskatchewan. Hi, Wendy. I hope you're enjoying the show so far.
Yep. Just a bunch of boobs on this side. Ivermectin, not just for horses. The FDA agreed to delete certain social media posts and web page updates that urged people to stop using ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19. The agency agreed to a settlement on Thursday with three Texas doctors who sued the Food and Drug Administration, alleging it provided unlawful medical advice about the off-label use of ivermectin to treat or prevent the disease. The U.S. Court of Appeal for the Fifth Circuit in September 2023 ruled the FDA has identified no authority allowing it to recommend consumers stop taking medicine or to otherwise give medical advice in tweet-sized doses. Here's a couple of the things they put out. Should I take ivermectin to prevent to prevent or treat COVID-19? No. It will also delete posts, including one that read, "You're not a horse. You're not a cow. Seriously, y'all, stop it." This is the same week that CTV News published, "There's no proof of causal links between COVID vaccine and cancer, or that mRNA vaccines can alter human DNA in any way." That makes me
suspicious.
This,
all right?
Because we're kind of on two
literally,
sides.
Literally, like, so far, this whole thing has been a shutout, right? Social distancing was pulled out of its ass. It was a lab leak. The masks were not effective. The vaccines were neither safe nor effective. We got told that going forward, we need to treat it like a regular flu. And now the horse paste myth has been debunked. Like, Sean, do you ever get tired of being vindicated?
No.
Not me neither.
I'm just saying Zippy says, "Oh, crazy hair, 100%. Zip, who's Zippy? Zippy, thanks for chiming in. I don't know, Tues, are we rolling crazy hair or are we not? I don't know. At this point, people don't even know what we're talking about.
All right. Well, we've both got crazy hair underneath our hats, and we're weighing the pros and cons of sticking with the hats or going with the hair.
Correct.
We'll let a couple more comments. We'll see if there's a couple more comments one way or the other.
Either way, if you side with Zippy, just comment you want the crazy hair. And if you don't, that's fine. This is cool. Ivermectin, you know, like, you just go back to when Rogan was talking about it, and then they came
like
out.
Like, you won a fucking Nobel Prize.
I know. But we were all saying that, and they just kept hammering on it and hammering on it and hammering on it and hammering on it.
And, you know, the funny thing is you've got all these doctors who are saying, "Oh yeah, it's this and it's that and whatever else." Motherfucker, you are trained in the administering of ivermectin to humans. And you can't say, "Well, just wait a second. You know, even if I agree with everything else, this is definitely not correct." They towed the line 100%. And Sandy has to say, "Can we go smack anyone who said horse paste?" Probably. All right.
Total loser does lamest thing possible. Once again, are we talking the woman cleaning out her deceased father's home?
Yes.
Okay. A woman cleaning out her deceased father's home in the Quebec town of Knowlton made a bombshell discovery on Friday. She found a live grenade. And then, God, now I get it. Oh, that was a slow burn. And then gave the grenade to the Canadian military. Called the cops. It was like,
I mean, like, I get the fact that the military is running short of everything right now. But still, you found a live grenade. And you just called the military and you're like, come.
I don't
want to
touch it.
Hands.
I don't want to touch it. Yeah, me and Tues are like, we would have touched it. And we totally would have went out to the farm and blew something up, right? Like, I mean,
absolutely.
Yeah.
We would have just been like, "Hey, this is like, here's the thing." Like, if you just said, "Tues, I found a grenade."
I'd be like, been here 5 hours later. Hopped in his car.
I'm a four and a half hour.
Where are you going? I'll be back tomorrow, sir. I gotta go see something.
46 minutes, and I would just, and then we just live stream it. We'd be like, "This is the grenade we found. Does it work? I don't know." And we'd set it up in some way that, you know, we'd put a whole bunch of dental floss on it so we could pull the pin from a little ways away. Because maybe I'm not a huge expert on grenades, which is a damn shame because they're awesome. But I feel like maybe there's a chance the fuse doesn't work the way it was intended to. If this thing, it looks like it's 70, 80 years old. And so maybe you just look at it and you say, "Okay, well, you know what? We'll pull it from a little bit of a distance. We got every camera we have lined up." You would probably call all of your friends. I'd get all my buddies and Lloyd, and we'd all be watching it and be like, "I don't know. What's a safe distance? I don't know. Who cares?" And we would just have something like the biggest pumpkin we could find on top of it and just see what happens, or a whole bunch of Tannerite or whatever, right? But we would do something awesome or fun with it, or worst case scenario, maybe we just tuck it away under the stairs or in a locked safe next to the firearms, you know, safe storage. And, you know, we're just being prepared in case things really go to shit in Canada. But the one thing we would never, ever do is call our local authorities and be like, "Hi, I'm wondering if it would be possible, please, for you guys to come get this incredibly awesome, super illegal, cool thing out of my house." No. God, I hate people. Oh. Blow a beaver dam. There you go, Clint. That's a great idea.
Montreal puts the trans in transportation. The Heart is a custom-built bicycle from a Montreal frame-building shop that just took home the People's Choice Award at one of North America's biggest bike shows, the Philly Bike Expo. The whole bike, well, you're going to like this, too, is with the color scheme based on the trans flag.
Yeah, it's pink with blue accents.
There you go.
Nice. And that's the best part. Can you scroll up for a little bit? Just scroll up for a minute. All right, keep it right there. All right, so this is a trans bike, right? And in an effort to be more trans, they did the most trans thing possible. They took what would usually be a rack on the front, and they made a stubbier, completely functionally non-functional, purely aesthetic, doesn't do a lick of good nub sticking out the front of this bike.
Oh, I didn't catch that.
They do not grasp any irony in fucking Quebec.
Scaremongering chooses violence. Threats against politicians have become increasingly normalized due to extremist narratives prompted by personal grievances and fueled by misinformation or deliberate lies, warns a newly released intelligence report. The report prepared by a federal task force that aims to safeguard elections says the Canadian violent extremist landscape has seen the proliferation of conspiracy theories and growing lack of trust in integrity of the state and more political polarization. Baseless theories, disinformation, and misinformation have spread to large audiences, exposing online users to fast networks of narratives that undermine science, systems of government, and traditional figures of authority, the report says.
Do you think maybe there's a chance that the traditional figures of authority have maybe perhaps just throwing it out there? Maybe they've undermined themselves a little bit. The institutions maybe aren't working exactly the way they're peddled to be. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. How hard is it to get some dipshit in Ottawa who could just sit down and write a report that says maybe people are pissed off because a bunch of the shit we've been telling them is verifiably false? Like, where is that report? Can I see that document, please? I want to see that covered in the news, even if it's fucking redacted.
I believe that's us. We're that report.
It is us. We are the people they're talking about. Yeah. Geez, I wonder why the RCMP are good at it too. Oh, and this one's interesting though. On a side note, switch from glitchy Rumble to X, much better. So I guess if you're having trouble watching this on Rumble,
come on over to X.
Over to X.
Drag queen has suspicious package. Oh boy. A scheduled drag queen story hour at Pennsylvania Library that had drawn opposition was canceled Saturday after a suspicious package was found in the building and two blocks were evacuated after threats were reported, authorities said. The package ended up being, I believe they said in the article, benign.
Completely non-functional. Sean, this stuff writes itself. I don't need to belabor this point. I think we all know where the punchline is here.
You know, so we started this like 2-3 episodes ago where I don't know the headlines when I start reading them. And normally I've got my brain kind of wired to, oh yeah, here comes the next headline. I know what story it is. But right now I'm like trying to draw in where Tuz is leading with the headline. Normally I have like, you know, a couple days usually to like draw. I already know the punchline. Right now, this has been fantastic. Okay. Carry on, Tuz. Best time to buy gold. He ain't kidding. There you go. That's it says gold prices just spiked to 2222.22 precisely. That's a lot of twos. Means something esoteric, open options. There's the price of gold, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, I cannot overstate how important a milestone this is. $2,222.22. And it didn't just hit it at some point. That's where it closed at. So yeah, take that to Silver Gold Bowl.
Well, if you want to know something cool, I got a text from you know, the girls from Armstrong who did our Trudeau song. Dun, 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 dun,
yes. Yeah.
Anyways, they if you've never listened to the podcast, Silver Gold Bowl is one of my major sponsors. Mm-hmm. And
we should play that clip later on, but the girls from Armstrong Ice Cream put together this ditty for us.
Right. They're teenage girls and they had a meeting with Silver Gold Bowl to discuss silver and gold. I'm like, that's pretty cool. So side note, shout out to
the ice cream business.
I agree. Well, you need to get in the dairy cartel. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. Oh, now it's mobster money.
Legacy Media pulls out all the stops. Greece would, of course, be interested in purchasing. Greece would, of course, be interested in purchasing Canada's liquefied natural gas LNG if the resource could be made available to Mediterranean country. Greek Prime Minister Kyriakos Mitsotakis says, "We're a big entry point for LNG, not just for the Greek market, but also for the Balkans, for Eastern Europe," he said. "Theoretically, we could even supply Ukraine. So in principle, yes, we are very interested in obtaining LNG at a competitive prices." Mitsotakis is the first Greek prime minister to visit Canada in more than 40 years, and he came with the message that his country is open for business. Of course, if you remember, Germany made a 15-year deal for the supply of natural gas to the Kingdom of Qatar after it came here, and Trudeau said there was no business case.
No business case. And then Japan made a big deal. What was it? Belgium. There's like four or five. Basically, it's gotten to the point where I have lost track of how many different countries have signed long-term multi-billion dollar deals with evil fucking places to get natural gas. And meanwhile, we're like, oh, there's no business case. There's an ethical case, and there's a business case, and there is a carbon environment saving the planet case, because natural gas has 1/10 of the emissions of coal. And so for every bit of energy we displace from coal, we've got 1/10 of the emissions. So you guys actually want to save the planet? Let's get our natural gas to everybody.
We're not the worst. Here you go. Here's some polls.
Oh, shit.
Wrong headline from Tues. He's talking about a different one. Tues is messing it up this week. Dude, I enjoy that when I'm not the one screwing it up.
Yeah, it's nice to... Oh, shoot. I must have missed it. All right. So Canadian polls are garbage is the headline.
Okay, there you go. Who will win the next election? CPC, 46%. Liberals, 21%. NDP, 8%. Unsure, 25%. There's one. The next one is leader net approvals. I don't know. You can kind of see that.
Polyev plus four. Singh is even at zero. So nobody disagrees with him as an approval. The equal amounts of people approve and disapprove of Singh. And Trudeau is minus 34%.
And then your final one from Tues.
All right. Yeah. So it says the Bloc Québécois are a party whose existence is based on fucking Quebec separation. Not running candidates and the rest of Canada is a missed opportunity. These equalization beaners are idiots for not doing it. This is the latest Abacus poll, and it predicts that the NDP are going to win 37 seats. Right now, they're polling in fourth place. They would have to get almost 10 times as many seats as what they're currently polled to win. And you've got net approval of Jagmeet Singh of being even, and 8% of Canadians think that he's going to be the fucking prime minister. Are you out of your fucking mind? Who the fuck are they talking to in these fucking polls?
Did you notice that this post may violate X's rules against hateful conduct?
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah,
I was wondering why it didn't get a lot of traction, because I thought it was hilarious.
That'd be one.
Because I called them equalization beaners.
You're just a hateful guy, Tues.
Oh, man. All right. Now, this... What the heck? I'm all screwed up here.
This is unbelievable, folks. Mashup 99 if you're just new to the tuning in here, Twos normally doesn't run, you know, the backside of this. We're trying new things. And every once in a while, it's a lot for Twos to handle, you know, to have to run a couple of things. And we're seeing that he keeps bringing up, we're not the worst. And that's a headline.
Right.
That's
well, it is a headline
down there.
But where we're at right now is the squatters' rights.
Correct. A New York City property owner recently ended up in handcuffs following a fiery standoff with alleged squatters who she's been trying to boot from her family's home. Adele Adelora, 47, was nabbed after changing the locks last month on the $1 million home in Flushing, Queens that she says she inherited from her parents when they died. She claims the ordeal erupted when she started the process of trying to sell the home last month, but realized squatters had moved in and brazenly replaced the entire front door and locks. She said she got fed up and went to her family's home on 160th Street with the local TV outlet in tow on February 29th and called in the locksmith to change the locks for her. In the New York City, a person can claim squatter's rights after just 30 days of living at a property. And you may recall last week, a TikTok influencer recently urging migrants to squat in homes and how to do it.
Yeah, they're basically laying out where all the loopholes are and how you can find it. So if you put up a fake for rent sign with a bullshit phone number, then that means that it's for rent. And then you can go in and there's a bunch of other things that you can do now in the States. And this is just getting absolutely insane. Crazy. I'm kind of surprised. This is one of the very few things that we've seen with the world losing its mind, where Canada hasn't been leading the charge. And that's probably the most interesting thing about this. Anyways, buzz over to the next one. This is the one where it should have been the legacy media pulls out all the stops. So this is the online harassment of the Surrey teacher.
Okay. Annie Ohana's classroom is decorated with colorful and thought-provoking posters and flags. They're part of Ohana's curriculum at L.A. Matheson Secondary in Surrey, B.C., and meant to ignite dialogue amongst her students. We've had students tell us that those flags really mean something to them, she said. It represents them. While the flags and posters are embraced at the school, they're also the reason Ohana was targeted online by Chanel Thal. A former high school teacher who, according to her bio on X, formerly known as Twitter, exposes wokeism in Canadian schools. Fall posted a photo on the platform criticizing Ohana's classroom, saying the educator is influencing kids to adopt her personal political beliefs and that she needs to be fired immediately.
Yeah, so this lady's classroom is absolutely covered. You know how doghouses just have safety bulletins and everything all over the entire wall? I remember having a conversation with one of the safety people back when I was still working oil and gas. And I'm like, oh, did you put up the new posters? And I'm like, I need a bigger doghouse to put all these up. You guys decide which ones you want up because I'm out of wall space. And this is the same thing in her classroom. So there you go. On the screen, resisting colonialism is an essential service.
Right? So these are four of the posters she had in her.
Some of them.
Yes.
That. And then here, this is a male nipple and it's a picture of a nipple. It might not even be a male nipple. You can't even tell. But if you're going to post pictures of topless women, please use this acceptable male nipple template to cover over the unacceptable female nipples. Simply cut, resize, and paste. Thank you for helping make the world a safer place. And then Black Lives Matter logo. I'm so happy we live in Canada. And then there's a bunch of
statistics on police
about minorities. And then here's the best one, though, is there's a picture of what's probably a prostitute, although she looks a lot like Taylor Lorenz. So, yes, on both accounts. And then a minor. And it says, if you think sex workers sell their bodies, but coal miners do not, your view of labor is clouded by your moralistic view of sexuality. So anyways, the really interesting thing is that it doesn't even say what grade she teaches. And and when they reached out to this Chanel woman, they basically took half of her quote and didn't even publish the rest. And it was all just about how evil she is and how horrible she is and not how this is pretty fucking bad. Okay. Now, we've got an update on the Toronto not leaving not leaving keys by the front
Did
door.
Did you all the headlines? Is that what's going on here?
I don't know what happened. I'm wondering if maybe I somehow just dragged them somewhere or something. But,
okay.
But we've got a whole bunch more after this. After this one, I think it goes back to normal.
Mash of 99, where it's a real tail fire, that's for sure. You know what?
Yeah,
I'm going back to the this is how this episode is running right now, folks. Tuesday's right, got it on. It's an absolute train fire. It's just we're barreling down the everything's on fire. It's a hot mess.
I just started doing the headlines because I thought they were fun. And now
it's a hot mess like my hair right now. Despite the backlash to Constable Marco Ricardia's comments to Etta Bakaki Town Hall, many with direct experience of Toronto's auto theft crisis say they understand the logic behind the officer's advice. You may recall last week, the officer saying, just leave your keys at the front door. That'd be way better. Not that it's the only step you should take to a layered approach to preventing thefts. A car theft victim, so they interviewed a car theft victim, a former thief, and a former police investigator who all told the Toronto Star, that this line of thinking makes sense. It's not a bad idea, said the former thief. I've been there. I've done it. I've got into people's houses. If the keys are near the door, a thief is going to grab the keys and they're going to leave. And that outcome is far better than the alternative of potentially violent search through your home, he said.
Yeah. And then he talks about like, well, now you got to worry. Now the thief's worried because your daughter's seen his face. And he's like, and when I used to rob houses, I was high on crack. And this is, you know how legacy media in Canada loves to just, they'll be like, oh, we interviewed these experts. We interviewed these experts. We interviewed those experts. Experts claim. Experts say. Like, here's a former crackhead. Here's our expert. Interesting thing as well. Thefts. This is auto thefts by year. And they're on a very good downward trend until 2015, where they had 3,460 as an all-time low. And then they started shooting sharply upwards again.
Now, I wonder what happened there.
It's almost like that 1971 thing. Have you ever seen that online where people talk about going off the gold standard? What happened in 1971? And everything just shot right up. Well, this is our 2015 is Canada's 1971 moment. All right. Oh, and also, I told Sean I was going to add this, so unbuzz me here imaginarily for a second. People are installing bollards in their driveways to protect their cars from thieves in Toronto. Now, for those of you who don't know, which was me right up until I read this article, bollards are those pillars that come up out of the ground.
Are you kidding me?
So people are having so much trouble with car theft that they're putting the pillars that pop up out of the ground to surround their car when they're parked. And the picture they have in this example is a Ferrari. Toronto is a fucked up place. Imagine having enough money to own a Ferrari and you park that fucking thing outside.
Outside. Yeah.
Okay. You don't build a garage. You put up a bunch of fucking hydraulic posts around it. I don't understand Toronto people. They're just fucking weird.
Shout out to all our Toronto listeners.
Yes. All right. Here we go. We're not the worst. We're back on track with the headlines.
No, because I'm at Jody Kondak.
No, that's not what's next.
Oh, no. I got Pam.
Pam Dimoff.
Pam Dimoff. All right. A liberal MP. Are we on track? We're not the worst. Pam Dimoff.
We are.
A liberal MP. Represents Ontario's Oakville, North Burlington riding, said Canadians who think the Trudeau government is too corrupt should look no further than how things are currently operating in war-torn Afghanistan.
Yeah, so here's her response to, and I love this thing. They made an inspirational post of it. I've been told that the government of Canada is corrupt, and I often say to people, take a look at Afghanistan, and it's done like an election poster. It's fucking hilarious. All right. So here's her thing. When everybody's saying there is blatant corruption in Canadian government, her response is, it's better than Afghanistan. Like, basically, she's saying, you've got Osama bin Laden as just being the worst of all time. And then after that, you've got Muammar Gaddafi and Saddam Hussein. And somewhere in the middle of that is Canada, but we're definitely not the Taliban. Here, I don't want to sound jaded, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if the best thing we can say about the current state of our government is that they're slightly better than the fucking Taliban, maybe we need to have better people in there, better laws, and a little bit less fucking bullshit.
I like Zane's comment. Hot mess hair, definitely on par with the performance. Yeah, fuck I'm you, feeling. Recall petition goes into the trenches. Signs demanding the ousting of Mayor Jody Gondak will be removed for violating a bylaw, the city said in a statement late Friday. The city invoked the temporary signs on Highway Bylaw 29M97, citing the sign size and location as reasons for the breach, and adding further violations will be fined. We are aware of a number of signs placed by Project YYC that are not in compliance with the bylaw due to size or location and have either been removed or will be scheduled for removal as they are reported as part of our standard processes, read the statement.
Interesting thing. I saw a tweet. I couldn't find it. But when they were first putting the signs up, they were trying to get some clarification from the city on what set of laws these signs fall under. And they couldn't get any clarification. And so they just said, well, the most likely thing is election because it's based on an election. So they followed the election sign bylaws as opposed to the temporary use sign bylaws, which are somehow different. And the temporary use sign bylaws are based on safety. So you can't have signs over a certain size within a certain proximity of the road because it's unsafe, unless there's an election going on, in which case they're justifiable underneath the election thing. And they somehow magically become safe after that. Can we please have some fucking adults in the room? Yeah. And then there's also, speaking of, can we get some adults? There's these two women openly defacing these signs.
Correction. Evidence totally exists for carbon tax.
Now, to be clear, let me just preface this here for a sec, Sean. Sorry to jump in. But last week, we had talked about how our government had talked about how there is literally no evidence showing a reduction in emissions or any numbers associated with how effective the carbon tax is or is not. And then, to their rescue, a new report comes out this week. Which is interesting because you would think that they would have a week ago said, hey, you know what? We actually do have the evidence. A report's being prepared. We're going to circle back to this in a week.
As the federal government faces increasing political pressures to halt a planned increase to its consumer carbon tax, a new report shows industrial carbon pricing has three times the impact on greenhouse gas emissions as the consumer tax. The independent analysis from the Canadian Climate Institution released Thursday shows that the current suit of federal government climate policies is set to significantly reduce Canada's emissions. The report found that carbon pricing, both the consumer and industrial versions, is projected to reduce emissions by as much as 50% by 2030. Quoted, since you're talking about the Jamaica... Oh, no, and I skipped it. It's all made up.
So you could just stop there. Interesting thing, the word independent shows up in this completely credible article by the CBC no less than three times. Now, this is the, what was the name of the organization? The Canadian Climate Institute, which is, as stated three separate times in this article, independent. And CBC is above reproach. We need to take their word for it. Scroll down, Sean. This is from their website. So, who we are, our history, board of directors, and...
Nope, this is the one I want, right here.
At the very bottom, here, let me take over, I'm already looking right at it. Our supporters and funders. The Climate Institute is nonpartisan, independently governed, and registered Canadian charity, so they don't pay fucking taxes. Our work is supported through a multi-year contribution agreement with Environment and Climate Change Canada. The Liberal government is paying for these people to exist, giving them shoddy tax exemption, and it just so happens that they happen to write an article, or they happen to write a report saying the exact fucking thing that the Liberals need right when they're being asked for it, like it fell like manna from fucking heaven in the desert. Isn't life beautiful when a plan comes together, Sean?
It certainly is. I don't see any conflict of interest, Tuz. Paging Captain Obvious. The Federal Ethics Commissioner says it will be helpful if Parliament set a limit on the value of gifts members of Cabinet would receive from friends in light of the Prime Minister's second trip to a friend's exclusive Jamaican estate. The Commissioner has stated that Prime Minister Justin Trudeau did not violate the Conflict of Interest Act when he and his family spent 10 days at the $9,300 per night private estate in Jamaica owned by longtime friends, family friends at no cost. That's because the act does not set limit on the amount or value of a gift from a friend, so long as it does not appropriately advance the friend's private interests. Participating, well, there you go. That's what he's talking about. It'd be nice if they set a limit.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that if I'm going to give a friend of mine $93,000, I'm probably going to expect something in return. There isn't a single person in this world I like enough to give $93,000 to. Okay, so yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be some type of fucking material benefit. But isn't it interesting that there's no upper limit? You could literally give him $1 billion. Like, just cut him a check. Here's $1 billion, Justin, because we're such good friends. And that doesn't violate the Interest Act. And then here's the Ethics Commissioner saying, you know what? Wouldn't it be cool if maybe we had this law written in such a way that there was an upper limit to how much free shit you can give a sitting parliamentarian?
Teachers strike a big hoopla. Teachers across Saskatchewan will withdraw support from extracurricular activities from Monday through Thursday as the dispute between the provincial government and teachers' unions continues. The latest sanctions from the Saskatchewan Teacher Federation were announced on Friday, following similar measures that threw a wrench into plans for Hoopla, the provincial high school basketball championship, along with a number of other events. On Monday, teachers in certain school divisions also are withdrawn from voluntary noon-hour supervision, leaving divisions to make alternative supervision arrangements.
I don't understand why we keep feeding this beast and hoping it doesn't eat us. We're basically just paying, like, Canadian citizens are vassals to the unions. We're like, well, maybe if we just feed them enough, if we just give them enough stuff, they're not totally going to wreck everything. They're not going to destroy us. Here, just take it. Just take it all. Just take it all. We're basically leaving the keys at the front door when it comes to negotiating with unions. You want to turn this around? You say, look, anybody we hire after today does not get a defined benefit pension, which is fucking unsustainably expensive. I love my uncle. He is absolutely wonderful. And I think he was a great teacher. I actually met somebody this summer that was a student of his and thought he was great. But he has been retired for longer than he actually taught as of like last year, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Right. So, here's the thing, like, he's actually been a pensioner from the job that he had for longer than he was actually working at the job, and he's got a defined benefit pension, right? It doesn't work mathematically. It made sense when people's life expectancy was a lot lower, and maybe that will be one of the fringe benefits of the COVID vaccinations that we've yet to see play out, is that maybe we'll just right this ship a little bit in a slightly unnatural course. But in the meantime, you've got all this stuff. Oh, you know, volunteer time during lunch hour supervision. No, you don't write that in. You just say, look, motherfucker, it's expected that you're going to man recess and you guys can just rotate and figure it out, right? All of this stuff should just be written in as part of the job. Or you say, okay, you know what? It's got to be things like Hoopla or staff to something like 80%, and we're going to get 20% of parents to help out with it or something like that, right? But just to write this all off as being voluntary, you're totally setting yourself up for this exact fucking thing to happen. And there isn't a single politician in Canada who's willing to take them on because it's the total third rail and it's political suicide. But you know what? At some point, this is going to have to break. Sean is probably wisely not saying a damn word during any of this.
I am married to a teacher. The hidden cost of EVs. Jeep maker Stellantis is laying off about 400 white-collar workers in the United States as it deals with transition from combustion engines to electric vehicles. Quoted, "While we understand this is a difficult news, these actions will better align resources while preserving the critical skills needed to protect our competitive advantage as we remain laser-focused on implementing our EV product offensive." Chief Executive Carlos Tavares repeatedly has said that electric vehicles cost 40% more to make than those run on gasoline, that the company will have to cut costs to make EVs affordable for middle class. He has said the company is continually looking for ways to be more efficient.
Yeah, this is basically like how the fight for 15, you know, oh, we want to raise the minimum wage to $15. And then McDonald's said, okay, yeah, you guys could have a $15 minimum wage, and then just replaced everybody with touch screens. This is the EV equivalent of that. We need EVs everywhere. We need EVs. Everybody needs to make EVs. And if you don't, it's super illegal. All right, well, we can't do it effectively with our current labor force, so we're going to have to get rid
of a
shit ton, right? This is what happens when the government puts their thumb on the scale of the free market every fucking time.
Politicians possess a penchant for pensions. It came to pass on Thursday evening that confidentially predicted failure of the official opposition non-confidence motion went down. This isn't the right headline, is it?
It's all tying in together. There was like 36 different headlines, so we're just grouping it all in.
Okay. It came to pass on Thursday evening.
It'll fit.
Oh, yeah, it'll fit all right. Okay, here we go. 99.
I'll tell you where to fit it.
It came to pass on Thursday evening that the confidentially predictable failure of the official opposition non-confidence motion went down with 204 Liberal, Bloc Quebec, and NDP nays to 116 Conservative yays. But forcing Canada into a federal election campaign was never the point. As Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre made clear Thursday, the real goal was to frame his party standing defiantly alone against the everyone else tax hikers.
Yeah, so Poilievre, he's playing chess while everybody else is playing tiddlywinks again. Like, he's just this. I mean, granted, it was a fairly simple move and they set themselves up for it. But Poilievre said, everything's getting stupidly expensive. We need to scrap the carbon tax. And it's a confidence vote, which means that the NDP has to go along with it because that's the agreement that they have with the Liberals until they, you know, turn coat and don't. But now you've got every other party saying, yes, we need to make things more expensive because we don't want to have an election right now. And that didn't happen. And now the next follow up, this is where we get to the penchant for pensions, is that the Liberals have proposed some changes to the Elections Act, and buried in the fine print is that they're going to move the election back from October 20th, 2025 to October 27th. 2025, which has a huge change for up to 80 different MLAs with that extra week are now going to qualify for the lifetime defined benefit bullshit golden parachute pension.
I should point out the primary beneficiary of this change would be the Conservatives. 32 Conservatives.
This is 32. Really poorly written. Okay,
22 MPs.
I don't think
Liberals.
Any of those 32 Conservatives are shaping up to be losing their seats. The primary beneficiary of this is anybody who doesn't win their election seat in a year.
Sure.
Okay. That's who wins. And right now, that is in a bloodbath, which I'm sure we're going to be banned for saying, hateful conduct or whatever. it's going to be a bloodbath for the Liberals unless anything drastic changes, which means that the beneficiaries of it are going to be the Liberals. Okay.
While I agree with you, I'm just meaning, I don't know. Are they going to push on this, or are they going to let it go?
Well, there's two different ways you can play it. One of them is that Polyev could put forth a motion to say that even if you're going to have it on the 27th, you need to treat the pensions for these people as though it was on the 20th, right? Now, the problem with that, though, is that, yeah, he can do some posturing about it, but blood from a stone, like, how much more support can he reasonably hope to get before the election? He's already shaping up to have one of the biggest supermajorities in Canadian history. And so, you know, is it really going to help him that much to do it when it gives the Liberals and the NDP a potential out, right? You're throwing them a lifeline and saying, look at these assholes, they're not even taking it. But what if they do take it? Now, the better long play for them, for Polyev, is to just talk about how shitty it is. And then after the next election, just call them the pension party or something like that. And just point to the fact that they would rather, you know, pull the marble off the walls while the building's burning than actually care about doing a good job, and point to how many millions of dollars it costs Canada in terms of these bullshit pensions that they qualified for less than a week's, you know, over the bare minimum. That's probably what, I don't know, that's what I would do.
Zombie fires. Green Party leader Elizabeth May, speaking in the House of Commons today, says the forest fires of 2023 continue to burn underground and under the snow, and they are called zombie fires, oceans of experienced temperature increases we've never seen before. She's talking about all the problems going on. And I was trying to, I was like, zombie fires? That seems like, why would she say zombie fires? So I actually Googled zombie fires.
So did I.
And the amount of things that came up, New York Times talking about it, Washington Post talking about it. Everybody's talking about zombie fires.
Here's the thing, though. What are they saying? So the New York Times is talking about it. March 4th, 2024. While so-called zombie fires, a term recently popularized in the Canadian media, that's what the New York Times has to say about it. Okay, this is the same shit with the climate vortex and the atmospheric rivers and all the wrestling moves that we decided to name weather events afterwards that I've been talking about forever. And you put zombie in front of everything and it becomes scary. And that leads us to what Sean is showing right now, which is the IMDb page for the absolute classic movie Zombievers.
If you haven't got to watch the movie trailer for that and you want to have a good chuckle tonight before you go to bed, just watch Zombievers, the trailer. You're going to be like, this looks horrific. But
it's on Prime too, if I'm not mistaken. And it's got Bill Burr in it. Bill Burr and John Mayer are like these two delivery guys. It's a good movie. Like, it's a bad movie, but it's a good movie.
Step outside. Mark Gerritsen just threatened Pierre Poilievre to step outside in the House of Commons. I can pull it up.
I got it right here.
Everything I said. Thank you, Madam Speaker. The Leader of the Opposition said that everything I said was not true. I'm wondering if he would step outside where he doesn't have parliamentary privilege.
I'm sorry. This is a point of debate.
And he actually gets his mic cut off at that point. Now, here's the thing. Mark Gerritsen, you like to think you're fancy as fuck and you're big shit and everything like that, and that you have this existential right to the carbon tax. Motherfucker, why don't you step outside of that room where you have parliamentary privilege and try and fucking take money out of my wallet then?
I feel like, didn't Shane Getson try and invite one guy out of the...
Brian Jean, apparently, did Brian Jean invite him up? With Brian Jean and Shane Getson, where they were talking about stepping outside. I guess Shane was telling Brian Jean, and this was all like alleged. It was all unconfirmed in the article, but it was great because apparently Shane, which is, I could see Shane saying this, and I could also see Shane completely denying it afterwards. You know, just like, hey, you know what happens behind closed doors, right? But apparently, he told Brian Jean at some point to just sit down and shut up because he was embarrassing himself. And then Brian Jean said, all right, motherfucker, let's go.
I like how Tunes is adding words to it. Somewhere there's a story on it, but fantastic.
Actually, I'd say that's not word for word, but that's a pretty close recap.
It's a nice reenactment for sure.
Yeah, I heard that story and it made me like Shane even more.
Equality of outcome. Canada ranked last in an access to primary health care in a survey of 10 high-income countries released by the Canadian Institute for Health Information on Thursday. Canada also ranked last in ability to get a same or next day appointment to see a doctor or nurse, and only 26% of Canadian adults were able to get their medical attention that quickly.
Now, I would just like to ask, why the fuck are we being compared to rich countries?
Because we're a rich
country.
No,
we're not. We are broke as fuck.
Well, that's just
Nigeria
true.
Nigeria is way richer than us. Kenya, pretty much every developing nation in Africa is significantly richer than Canada. We have several trillion dollars of debt. They do not. You know, this number is a couple years old, but if the per capita debt in Nigeria is just over $22 or $200. So you know how we're like 40, 50 grand in debt per person. So family of four, you owe $200,000. Okay. In Nigeria, you owe $200 per person. So all they had to do was just be like, look, can everybody just throw in a couple bucks? And we've balanced the books. Okay. That's a rich country compared to us. Everybody is rich compared to Canada. And yes, our healthcare fucking sucks. We need to stop comparing it to first world countries, and we need to start comparing it to developing nations. That's a conversation I want to see happen.
Climate change versus democracy. Talking about where our money's going. Prime Minister Trudeau announces Canada will spend $8.4 million on research to understand how climate change interacts with democratic decline. Can't wait for that report. Did we submit the Tuesday mashup? We'd like to be the ones to do it. Did we do that? No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We could just, you know, we'll be registered as a charity with Revenue Canada. And then we can have a little disclaimer on our website that says all our fucking money comes from the liberal idiots. And then we'll just write an 83-page diatribe of nonsense. And we're going to throw in a bunch of buzzwords. We're going to talk about existential crises and, ooh, zombie fires. Yeah, I figure we could probably get like a whole fucking chapter out of zombie fires. And then we're going to talk about far-right, alt-right, white supremacism, white nationalists, and I don't know, maybe we'll do sub-chapters based on all of the different white people that exist because they're not all the same.
Disease X is worse than we thought. A mystery flesh-eating disease that kills around 30% of people who become infected is spreading rapidly around Japan. In the first 2 months of 2024, some 378 cases of streptococcal toxic shock syndrome, STSS, were detected in the country. Last year, it is believed there were 941 cases, which has caused concern that this year is set to surpass that number by some distance. STSS is caused by a more severe form of bacterial that causes streptococcal A, strep A throat infection common in children.
Dude, you missed the headline, but allow me. Anus eating virus that kills 30% of people is spreading. Something has happened. No shit. So yeah, the anus eating virus. Okay. And it's disease X because Generation X is all about eating ass too. And so this obviously has to be disease X, right? Like how many people are having butt to butt contact in Japan? Like how do you just, cause it's not even just cheek to cheek. Presumably you got to go just, you know, like how are they spreading this?
Don't know. Don't care. Plan for the worst. A secret RCMP report is warning the federal government that Canada may descend into civil unrest once citizens realize the hopelessness of their economic situation. Quoted, the coming period of recession will accelerate the decline in living standards that the younger generation have already witnessed compared to earlier generations, read the report, entitled Whole of Government 5-Year Trends for Canada. For example, many Canadians under 35 are unlikely ever to be able to buy a place to live, it adds. The report authors warn that whatever Canada's current situation, it will probably deteriorate further in the next 5 years. Most notably, the report warns of Canada facing increasing pressure to cede Arctic territory.
I feel like ceding Arctic territory isn't going to be a major cause for civil unrest in Etobicoke, Ontario. But maybe that's just me. Thing I really liked about this article, ironically, among the report's more heavily redacted sections is one carrying the subtitle, quote, erosion of trust. The past 7 years have seen marked social and political polarization in the Western world, reads a partial first sentence, and the entire rest of the section deleted by government censors. You know what? I think probably a big potential lightning rod for civil unrest in Canada is probably going to be fucking irony.
Happy news! Oak Bay resident John Hillman has been raising money for charity for the past 4 years by walking his age around the courtyard of the Carlton House over 10 days. When he was 101, he walked 101 laps. When he was 102, he walked 102 laps. When he was turned 103 and 104, he walked those as well. Every penny raised went to Save the Children's Emergency Fund, which is totaled $460,000 and counting. He is now 105. He's been moved. He got to do one more lap. It sounds like his health is failing, but they threw a big old party for him too. It looked like it was a pretty cool thing. And once again, a guy over 100 raising money for Children's Emergency Fund.
I think that's pretty cool. And especially considering the fact that the guy's a veteran, that's always bonus marks in my book.
I agree that that's a cool story hiding in there.
Look at all those. That's quite a lot of decorations. Good for him.
Yes, absolutely. Now, what else do you got, Tuz? Community notes. Well, actually, you know what? Let's do this first, folks. Let's see if I can pull this up.
Oh, we got a wild card.
We do have a wild card.
We got wild hair and wild cards.
Man, the old hair is sure looking fantastic tonight. Here's my weekend, Tuz. The boys in town, we won the annual Never Sweats Cup. There you go. The annual Never
Sweats. Oh, you're playing for the Never Sweats now.
No. This is the Titans, the T-Bar 1 Titans. So you got Dust and Harley and Jail in there.
Yeah.
And we won.
Bunch of people
weekend.
I don't recognize.
So that's there you go. There's my happy news, my community notes. How you doing? Won a championship this weekend too. It's no big deal. You know?
All right. Okay. Deal. Well, I mean, not to one up you or anything like that, but congratulations to Papa Tuz, 2,222 minutes for winning the entire season of curling.
Oh,
he's
you guys
the curling champion of the hometown.
Your dad won.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Big 100-year-old trophy. It's like the Stanley Cup of the area. My grandpa's on it. He's on it. Now I got to figure out how I can get on it at some point.
Interesting. Looks like Tuz is going to have to go back home, folks, if he wants to do that. Some other things coming up. If you're in Victoria area this next week, Danny Bulford's going to be speaking at Unify Talks. Unify Canada. I think it's Unify Canada. It shows
Unify Canada's got some interesting stuff coming up that we're going to be talking about in the next few episodes.
Weunify.ca is where you can go for all the details. Either way, we get a lot of time on this show for Danny Bulford. So
yeah.
Shout out to Danny. We got 33 days away from the Cornerstone Forum. You know how many tickets are left, Tuz?
Probably not many.
30 left.
30 tickets.
Yeah. 30 left.
That's just three tables, man. That's nothing.
Right. That's nothing. So if you want to, if you want to be in Lloydminster, April 27th, S&P Presents is back. We got Martin Armstrong virtually, Tom Luongo, Alex Craner, Chris Sims, Curtis Stone, Chuck Prodnick, and Mikkel Thorup going to be there all day Saturday. Full day event. In the crowd, we're going to have 222 minutes. Drew Weatherhead, Leighton Gray, the Cowboy Preacher. I'm sure a whole bunch of others, and we'd love to see you there. Yeah.
Are any of the celebrity tables? I don't know if that's the right way to say it.
Just the Cowboy Preacher. That's all that's left.
There you go.
The rest have been snapped up. So, that's going to be a fun day. 30 tickets left. And if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go to my social media, Cornerstone Forum, Show Pass, www.showpass.com/Cornerstone.
What episode number was the Cowboy Preacher, Sean?
You just passed them. What do we, that's a good question. It's a good question, too.
All right. So while Sean's looking at that, I guess we need to decide if we're going to keep the hair thing going forward. I say no. It's too much.
So 6:05. He was just last week, Thursday.
Okay. What was the first one, though?
The first one that he was on? Oh, man. That's a long time ago. He was episode 430, May 15th, 2023. He was also in the top 10 for downloaded episodes of 2023. So that was Joshua Allen, the Cowboy Preacher. There you go.
Okay.
The hair, no.
No, I,
oh, hey.
I just
tough enough to wear pink tournament. Neilberg last weekend raised 17 grand for local charities. Congrats, Neilberg.
Way to go, Neilberg. I will say, as a corollary, this is the same fucking shit we've been dealing with the fishing derbies. Don't tell me the weekend after the fishing derby how awesome it went. Tell me before so that we can maybe mention it on the show.
Okay? Yeah, Marty, figure it out, eh? Maybe Jesus tell us Christ. That the tournament's coming up, eh?
Yeah.
Hey, yay, yay.
Jeez.
Okay.
This is exactly what I expect from
12th Neilberg. Annual PBR at Marwane Arena, April 12th, 2020. Not 2020, 2024. And so we have tickets that we can give away to it, too.
Oh,
two of them.
Two tickets. What are we doing?
I don't know. That's, I don't know, too. What do you want to do? 12th annual PBR Marwane Arena, two tickets, April 12th, 2024. I don't know, man.
I don't know. That's interesting. All right, because I don't. Yeah, just, you know what? Know. We sat.
You know what? I think a Jungle Book right now. What do you want to do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Now, don't start that again.
Don't you start that again? Okay. This is all right. Sean and I literally sat looking at each other's ugly mugs for like 20 minutes while we were getting everything set up. Oh yeah, you know, we're not really talking. We're just, you know, getting all our tabs.
That's a lie. We were saying what's up back and forth. We're going,
what's up?
Yeah, you know, it's Monday night. What's up? All right.
Okay,
that's how we get rolling.
But also,
we probably should have did some work in the interim.
Could have just maybe mentioned that.
I could
like, hey, do you have a cool idea for a 2-ticket giveaway to Marwane?
I don't, and I didn't. And I forgot. Okay.
But
so here it is. I'm talking about it right now.
Bring it on me
on live television.
To the fucking live television. Jesus.
So Christ. I would say slide into the comments, leave your name and where you're listening from. And if you give us those two pieces of information, you're entered. If you're listening on the podcast, text me. And instead of Cornerstone Forum, I need name, where you're listening from, and Tuesday mashup as the three pieces. That way I know you're talking about this. Okay.
It's actually just the mashup now.
Well, soon to be.
If right you now, say Tuesday mashup, you're not going to be entered in. It has to say the mashup.
There you go. That's how we'll do it. And we'll do a draw later this week and we'll announce it. And then there you go. Super easy. Slide in the comments and away we go.
And Marty bows. Goat's Christmas wish, Lloyd Health Foundation, and local family. And he says, we hate to brag. Well, you know what? Raising 17 grand is pretty awesome. Okay. And I don't know if this is like a list of upcoming things. I'm guessing.
Well, Goat's Christmas wish.
They do that every year, right?
Yes. Yep.
I quite like the goat. Okay. I think that's just about it, though.
Well, you still have May 11th Walk and Run fundraiser in Turtleford. That's Mackenzie Bloom. All proceeds to the MS Society. You got Dustin's, the clunkerdunker.com.
Oh, yes. That's right.
They got, clunkerdunker.com, you can gamble, right? You can try and guess what day that thing is going to sink in.
What time did you pick?
I haven't picked a time yet. I've been waiting for that thing to move. Because once it starts moving, I'm like, okay, then it's time.
So you're basically going to sit there watching it. And as soon as it shifts, you're going to be like, I'm buying this time right now.
Kind of. Twos, mashup 99 in the books. Folks, it's been a tail fire. I'm not going to lie. It's been about as good as my hair. But thanks for coming along for the ride. Next week, we crack 100 mashups.
You know? On April 1st. Which is the 2-year anniversary of you being a full-time podcaster.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, holy Dinah.
Okay. I can't decide whether to prank you or congratulate you. Probably going to be a little bit of both.
All right. That's going to do it for us, folks. We'll catch up to you next week.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.